followers of Jesus must support one another, correct one another, and then stand firm in the face of opposition with integrity.
You're listening to Wonder Lake Bible Church, building mature followers of Jesus Christ. Find us online at wlbiblechurch.org. Now, here's Pastor Dan Cox with today's message.
Have you ever been bullied? Maybe it was in school, or sometimes it's not even in school. It can be in a workplace or even in a home. Well, it was a big problem in our schools when I was growing up, and I know that it still is today. And I had a little trouble with some bullies when I was a freshman in high school, and they were making my life miserable. Can anyone here relate to that? Like being at school, like being the one that for whatever reason decided that I was a target to be picked on. And they were making my life difficult. But then one day, out of the clear blue, a senior named Rick Miller walked up to me and he said, "Hey, kid, is someone giving you a hard time?" And I said, "Yes." And then he said, "Well, you tell them Rick Miller said to leave you alone." And I said, "Okay." Well, later that day, I once again encountered my nemesis. And before they went to work, I said, "Rick Miller told me to tell you to leave me alone." And they seemed a little surprised, but then they started to back off like Dracula looking at a crucifix. And they never gave me any more trouble again. Well, I was just a freshman. I didn't know this, but I later found out that Rick Miller had a reputation in our school. He had a reputation for being tough, and he was the one guy in the school that you most definitely did not want to mess with. Now, he was not a particularly nice guy, but for some reason, he took pity on me, and that was the end of my days being bullied in high school. But the story doesn't end there, though, because years later, I found out that Rick had become a Christian. And in fact, he was serving in ministry as a pastor. So you might say that the Lord works in mysterious ways, doesn't he? Even then, and I have to say, I bet there aren't any bullies in his church. But speaking of bullies in the church, sadly, you know, their bullies aren't just in schoolyards, in workplaces, or homes. Unfortunately, sometimes there are bullies in the church. And today we're going to take a look at a little New Testament book that deals with a spiritual bully in the church who is clearly not walking in love and truth. So we continue our series today, Small Books with Big Messages, small books, those small books of the New Testament that while they don't contain a lot of words, a lot of verses, nevertheless, there's a big message. We're looking at Philemon, 2 John, 3 John, and the book of Jude. In Philemon, we saw that just as Christ has reconciled us to God, so believers are to be reconciled to one another. Last week in 2 John, that followers of Jesus must uphold the truth of Jesus and walk according to his commandments. Well, today we'll be looking at the book of 3 John, the book of 3 John. First, some brief introductory notes on this. Who wrote it and when and to whom and why? Well, the author was the Apostle John. You know, John had been a disciple of Jesus, one of the 12. And after the resurrection, he was called to be an apostle, one who was sent out to declare the message of the gospel. And in fact, he is unique among the disciples, among the 12, in that he was the only one who was not martyred for the faith. Now, he was persecuted for the faith, and he was even imprisoned and exiled, but he was not martyred. And so John was the last of the apostles then. So he is writing this book then. It was probably around AD 90 or so. So this is about 60 years after the resurrection. And he's writing it to a friend of his, a fellow believer named Gaius. And he is writing because he wants to commend or encourage Gaius for his safe support, his faithful support of the gospel, but also, though, to encourage him to continue walking in the truth in the face of opposition, in the face not only of the opposition that might come from false teachers, but also, though, in the face of opposition that might even come from within the church, from a spiritual bully in the church. So we'll be looking then in 3 John, verses 1 through 15, where there we'll see today that followers of Jesus, that is those who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, followers of Jesus must support one another, correct one another, and then stand firm in the face of opposition with integrity. So before we look at our text, then a little context here. John the Apostle, we said, is writing to his friend, a man named Gaius. And like all of the other churches in those days, and I would say continuing on to today, the people in Gaius's church, they needed encouragement to walk in love and truth. That is, to be faithful to what the Scriptures say. This is what it means to be a follower of Jesus, to walk in the truth, not just to acknowledge it in our minds, but to live it out, to be obedient to it. And to do so, not just with doctrine, or like someone who says, these are the rules I must follow. That's not faith, just walking to make sure I follow all the rules because I've got to follow the rules. There's also love. It's love for Jesus. It's an intimate, loving relationship with him, and also loving one another as he has first loved us. So this is the call then for followers of Jesus to walk in love and in truth. And so his people needed to be encouraged to do that. But they also, like all other churches then, and like all churches today, needed to be on guard, against false teaching. In their case, they needed to be on guard against false traveling teachers, these teachers who would come into their churches and would teach them. And they had to be on guard. Some were good teachers, some weren't. And so they needed to practice discernment, to be on guard against false teachers, but to support faithful traveling teachers. But unfortunately, there was another problem in this church. This church had a bully, a spiritual bully named Diotrephes, and he was in serious need of correction. So John is writing then to commend Gaius for his faithful support of the good teachers, and to Rick Millerize Diotrephes, if you will. So let's look at 3 John chapter 1, where he says, "The elder," that is John, "the elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you, and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. For I rejoiced greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth." So here first we see his greeting. John says that he loves Gaius. He says, "whom I love in truth." And there are those words again, love and truth. And he loves him in the truth, as he loved him as a fellow brother in the faith, in the truth, that he saw that Gaius understood the truth of Jesus. He believed the truth of Jesus, and he was walking faithfully in the truth of Jesus. And so John loves him as a brother in the faith. He loves him in the truth. And then he says something. He says that I'm praying for you, my brother. And what is he praying? I am praying that all may go well with you, that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. So he is praying for what? For favorable circumstances for him in his life. He is praying for good health for him. But then he is also praying what? For spiritual health, spiritual prosperity, that his soul, the things are going well for him there, that he was walking faithfully with the Lord, that he was growing spiritually, the things were going well with his soul. And you know, it is good for us to pray for one another, isn't it? We're commanded to do that. And there are many things that we can pray for one another. And it's okay to pray for one another's for favorable circumstances, and to pray for good health for one another. But I want you to know, though, that this verse here, this is not an endorsement of the so-called health and wealth gospel or the prosperity gospel here. See, I believe in the prosperity gospel if by prosperity you mean that God seeks to prosper our souls, our spirits, and that one day when we are in His presence, we are going to experience fully the blessings, all the blessings that He has for us. But there is a false teaching out there that says that God wants you right now, if you are a believer in Jesus, He wants you to be rich and to be well, to not be sick ever. And if you're not rich, if you're not sick, well, then obviously you've got a faith problem and you need to renounce your lack of faith and start just believe more, and God will make you rich and healthy. Well, unfortunately, that's a huge, huge teaching out there, a false teaching out there. But that doesn't mean, though, that it's wrong for us to pray for one another's health, to be in good health. And, you know, we have seen God do some amazing things right here in our church family, haven't we, when we have prayed for people for their health concerns. Just recently, we had several persons that were diagnosed with cancer, colon cancer, within a span of 3 weeks. We had several people, and we saw God work in those things and bring healing. And it is good for us to pray for that. And we're praying for little Maggie then today, Sandy and Danielle's granddaughter. And we're going to pray for God's healing of her. It's good to pray for those things. But it's also good to pray, though, too, that our friends' souls will prosper as well. So I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. And then he also says there, the brothers, that is, these teachers, these traveling teachers, had come back to John, and they were testifying to how he is walking in the truth. It says, I rejoice greatly when the brothers, these teachers, came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth. The brothers testified to your truth. Now, your truth, I want you to know, that's not that postmodern concept we have today of your truth and my truth and his truth and her truth and everybody has truth, but nobody has the truth, right? Well, the reality is there is the truth. Now, I understand that human beings, you know, we're a little limited in our ability to fully grasp the truth and to know truth and to know we know the truth. I get that that gets a little complicated, but that's not to deny, though, that there is such a thing as truth. Whereas our culture now just wants to deny that. Say there is no truth. It's all relative. It's what, well, what do you believe? What works for you, right? It's true for me. It's not true for you, but it's true for me. Well, that's nonsense, because there is truth, the truth. What is truth? The way things really are. Regardless of anyone's opinion or beliefs or experiences, the way things really are, that's the truth. And the truth has been revealed to us by God, who is truth. And he says, the brothers testified to your truth. Not this postmodern concept, but what is your truth? His truth was God's truth, that he was walking in the truth. And so he had made the truth his truth in his life by walking faithfully and obediently in it. So they have testified to your truth, as he has believed the truth and is walking faithfully. So Gaius's truth is the truth, God's truth in Jesus. And then he says something, John does. He says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Now, John is not speaking of his own biological children here. I don't know if John had children. Maybe he did. And if they did, were they believers? Were they walking in the truth? I hope so. I don't know. But John isn't speaking of that here, is he? He says, what is he talking about? His children, he's speaking of his fellow believers. Now, you realize John at this time, if this is around AD 90 or so, he is probably getting close to about 90 years old at this point. Maybe in his 80s, a spry man of his 80s, or going into his 90s. And so he is indeed an elder in the truth. And so his children in the truth are fellow believers, younger people, believers in the truth. And he says he has no greater joy than to hear that these believers, these younger believers, are walking in the truth. Now, I can tell you as a pastor, I can concur that I don't think there is any greater joy. There isn't any greater joy than to see God's people walking in the truth, to see God's children walking in the truth. On the other hand, then, I think that can be one of the most painful things in life to see, is when we see God's people that are not walking faithfully in the truth. So he says there is no greater joy. He has no greater joy than to hear that they are walking in the truth. And I know how painful it can be then when people are not walking in the truth. Now here he's talking about spiritual children. But if I might just another thought aside here for a moment and say, you know, I realize that it can also be very painful when our biological children, when they are not walking in the truth. And I have seen the pain of that. I've seen the pain of that in this church among some of us here when we see that our children are not walking in the truth. And I have to tell you, that's one of the things we've been talking about. I meet with a group of pastors on Thursday mornings. And there, that's something that has been on our hearts there as we've talked about this pain of seeing our children who are not walking in the truth. And you know, here in this group of pastors, there are a number of them that have been through or are going through that pain themselves. As pastors, they think that they've done everything right. And sometimes as parents, you feel like, you're not perfect. None of us are, right? But you've tried to do everything right. You have tried to teach your children the right. You have tried to model God's truth for them. You have loved them. You have taught them. You have done everything that you've tried to do, and yet they are not walking in the truth. And so I have seen that even with these men, some of these pastors, going through that pain of seeing their children who are not walking in the truth. And so what are we to do then? What are we to do with that pain when our children aren't walking in the truth? Well, for now, let me just say that I think we need to pray faithfully, to continue to pray faithfully, and to find our strength in the Lord. To pray faithfully, to find our strength in the Lord. And I would then also say, stay tuned. Stay tuned for more on that a little later this year. Let's go on in our text then to 3 John verse 5. 3 John verse 5, where he says, "Beloved, it is a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are, who testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God, for they have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers for the truth." So here he tells them to support supporters of the truth. To support supporters of the truth. These were brothers or strangers. These brothers, these strangers, were traveling teachers. And these were good and faithful and truth-telling preachers and teachers. And last week, you'll recall, in 2 John, we looked at the problem of churches that were helping to support false teachers. That here were these traveling teachers who were coming into their churches, and they were teaching them things that were contrary to the Word of God, contrary to the gospel, a false gospel. And these churches were helping them, were supporting them. And so he had to tell them, don't do that. Don't give support to these false teachers. Well, sometimes people need to be encouraged. Okay, well, I'm not supposed to do that. Well, then they weren't supporting the good teachers. And so they needed to be encouraged to support the good teachers. And here John is commending one man, Gaius, for his example in this and his support of the good teachers. It says, these brothers, they have testified to your love, Gaius, to your love before the church. How had he expressed his love? Well, by welcoming them, by supporting them, by showing them hospitality and helping to meet their needs. That was a practical demonstration of love for them. And again, there are those words, truth and love, love and truth. You know, that is the heart of authentic Christian discipleship. That is what it means to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus. A Christian is one who follows the Lord Jesus and walks in love and truth. The heart of authentic Christian discipleship. More on that this summer. So you got to stay tuned. I'm asking you to stay tuned for a couple things about the dealing with the pain of when our children aren't walking in the truth. But then also then of what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus, walking in truth, walking in love and truth, Christian discipleship. And what do we do then with the challenges that our culture is bringing at us every day today? How do we deal with that? We're going to look at that this summer. But here Gaius then, he is commended then for his support of these teachers. And he says, you are sending them on their journey in a manner worthy of God. What is the manner worthy of God? Well, sending them on their way, having met their needs. That is worthy of God, worthy of the name of Jesus, is to send these faithful workers on their way, having met their needs. This is what they have gone out for the sake of the name. That is, they were going out to spread the truth of the name of Jesus. And these workers who were going out and doing this, they weren't doing it to get rich. Says what? They have accepted nothing from the Gentiles. That is, these teachers were going out and they were proclaiming the good news. They were evangelizing, but they would not accept money from those they evangelized, lest they be thought of doing it for the money. That can be a scandal today in the church, can it? And so these, then they didn't want that. And so what? So faithful believers needed to make sure, but they still had needs that had to be met. And so faithful believers are to make sure those needs were being met. Therefore, what? Therefore, we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers for the truth. And so when you support someone who's doing that, you're coming alongside and you're working in the ministry along with them in doing that. Now, what about that spiritual bully that needed to be Rick Millerized that I told you about? Well, here he is then, popping up in verse 9. He says, I have written something to the church, but Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first, does not acknowledge our authority. So if I come, I will bring up what he is doing, talking wicked nonsense against us. And not content with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers and also stops those who want to and puts them out of the church. Wow, so here is this Diotrephes. He is a leader in the church, and he's a spiritual bully who wants to make sure everybody knows that he is in charge. He says, Diotrephes, what? Who he wants to, likes to put himself first. Hey, I'm in charge here. I'm first. He won't acknowledge the teaching, the authority of the apostles. He's talking, in fact, he's talking maliciously against them. And I also then, he will not allow others in the church to welcome good teachers. And in fact, he threatens to put people who are supporting these good teachers, threatens to put them out of the church. Does that sound like a good spiritual leader to you? No. So Diotrephes then needed to be opposed. We need to support supporters of the truth, but we need to oppose opposers of the truth. Sometimes opposition to the truth, certainly it comes from without the church. But unfortunately, sometimes opposition to the truth comes from within the church, doesn't it? Sometimes even within the ranks of leadership. Now, Diotrephes may well have had the truth in right doctrine. Do you notice here that John doesn't say anything about there being a problem with his doctrine? He doesn't say that he's a false teacher, that he's teaching false things, but it's all focused, what, on his attitude and behavior. He says nothing about his doctrine. So it is quite possible here you have doubt. If he was a false teacher, John would have said what? Get him out of there. He has no business being in there teaching false doctrine in the church. So I think here is a man who he had the doctrine right, but his heart was all wrong. See, walking in the truth then isn't just having right doctrine in our minds. It's living it out faithfully in our hearts and our attitudes, isn't it? And this man, he may have gotten an A on a theology test, but his heart was all wrong because it was all about him. He wants to be first in everything. You know, it seems that Jesus seems to have said something about that, about who's first and last, didn't he? What? That the first will be last and the last will be first. And he said what? That if you want to be great in the kingdom, then you must be what? A servant. Have a servant heart. That is greatness in the kingdom. That's what it means to be first in the kingdom, is to be last. That is to be a servant of others. So Diotrephes may well have had the right, had the truth and right doctrine, but he certainly wasn't practicing the truth in his heart with the right attitude, the attitude of servant love. Pretty damning indictment of him there. He puts himself first. Hey, look at me. It's all about me. I've got to be in charge. He does not acknowledge apostolic authority. He won't listen to what John and the others are saying. Nope. He knows what he's doing. He doesn't want to hear from them. And in fact, not only does he not acknowledge their authority, he even what? Speaks wicked nonsense against them, spreading malicious talk, lies against them. He also then refuses to welcome the brothers as these traveling teachers, the good ones who should be welcomed and supported. He refuses to welcome them. He stops those who want to help them, and then he puts those who want to help out of the church. This guy needs to be seriously corrected, doesn't he? So John says, I'm going to have a word about that with him and to the church. So Diotrephes, in short then, what? He was a self-centered, arrogant, dictatorial, power-grabbing, evil bully. But other than that, I'm sure he was a great guy. So John says he will confront Diotrephes if he comes to the church. Because what? Opposers of the truth need to be opposed. And sometimes opposition to the truth isn't just false teaching, it's false attitudes. Wrong attitudes. So opposition to the truth comes in attitude, not just doctrine. He was not walking in love. He was not walking in Christ-like love because it was all about him. So Diotrephes then is a great example of what a spiritual leader should not be like. So there's no place in the church for this kind of leadership. And you know, sometimes we've had some spiritual bullies in this church, haven't we? Did you know there were some spiritual bullies when I first came to serve as pastor here? I was an interim pastor. Many of you know this, but some of you may not. But, well, I'll just say I think there were some who were in leadership who should not have been. And I wasn't here long when I saw that. I recognized that. And I spoke to them about that. And they fired me. And the congregation didn't like that. And so, in effect, the congregation said, no, he's coming back and you guys are fired. How many of you remember that? Sometimes there are bullies everywhere, aren't they? Sadly, including in the church, and they need to be opposed, but not opposed violently and angrily and harshly, but what? Be opposed with the truth in love. And you guys did that. There's no place for bullies anywhere, and especially not in the church. And especially not in leadership in the church. So what do the scriptures say about spiritual leadership? Well, that's a whole other topic there, but just briefly, it's this. The heart of spiritual leadership is the heart, a humble servant heart, just like the heart of Jesus. And that's the key to spiritual leadership, is those words are like Jesus. So spiritual leadership is Christ-like character. It is Christ-like attitudes. It is Christ-like words. It is Christ-like deeds. They're saying, well, I don't know. None of us are exactly like Christ. Well, you're right. I'm not exactly like Christ yet either. None of us are, right? But what is it? It's someone whose life shows faithfulness to walking with Jesus and is evidencing the fruit of the Spirit in his life, her life. That's leadership. Christ-like love, Christ-like character, attitudes, words, and deeds. Not diatrophies. Finally then, he says, beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself. And we also add our testimony, and you know that our testimony is true. So support supporters of the truth, oppose opposers of the truth. And imitate good. That is, imitate the good examples. Don't imitate people like Diotrephes, but imitate the good examples. And then he gives a good example, Demetrius. Diotrephes is a bad example. Demetrius is a good example. Demetrius was a friend of John who was probably the one who was carrying this letter to them. He says, be like Demetrius. It says, whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God. So doing good is the fruit of faithfulness in the truth and a right relationship with God. Doing good is the fruit of faithfulness in the truth and a right relationship with God. But those who do evil, they have not seen God. That is, they do not have a right relationship with God. Do you think Diotrephes, with what he was doing, again, maybe his doctrine was all fine and squared away, but the way he was acting, his attitude, what he was doing, do you think he was walking faithfully with Jesus and that he had a right relationship with God? Absolutely not. You can't be doing what he was doing and be walking in right relationship with God. Demetrius, on the other hand, he was walking faithfully. And he was giving evidence of it in his life. And people could see that. And so he is publicly commended and affirmed. And he says what? He has a good testimony from everyone. And he says what? Not only does everyone testify of his character, but also even the truth itself testifies of him. That is, even the gospel truth itself testifies of Demetrius. That as he, as Demetrius was walking faithfully, the truth itself was backing him up. Walking faithfully in the truth, the Bible, the scriptures become the best testimony to that person. And John and the other leaders then also add their testimony to that. And so it is good then too to publicly affirm good and faithful servants of the truth. So finally, he says, I had much to write to you, but I would rather not write with pen and ink. Does that sound familiar? I said the same thing last week in 2 John, right? I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Peace be to you. The friends greet you, and greet the friends each by name. So here you see in this final greeting here then, the humanity of John, that these are real people. He hopes to see them soon so he can talk face to face rather than pen and ink, and wishes God's peace upon them. Sends the greetings of those believers, the friends, fellow believers that were with him, sends their greetings to them. It says, greet the friends each by name. That shows what? John's love and care for each one. Not just the church out there, but each one of them collect the church as individuals, isn't it? The church is the body of Christ, and the body of Christ is made up of individual believers who all have a name. And greet each of them by name. So you say, so what? That was John's letter to some guy 2,000 years ago. What does that have to do with us here today, with me here today? Well, I would take us back to the beginning where we said followers of Jesus must support one another, correct one another, and stand firm in the face of opposition with integrity. Walk with integrity. So what can we do? We can support faithful ministers of the gospel, like the World Changers, for example, right, Rachel? That's right. We can oppose troublemakers within the church. And by the way, don't start looking at each other and pointing fingers and all. There's a right way to do this, right? But clearly, there's no place for spiritual bullying in the church, is there? And that should be opposed with the truth in love. Love and truth. And finally, then follow good examples. Are there people in your life that you can look at and say, you know, that person is not perfect. She's not perfect. But he is or she is endeavoring to walk with Christ and to be faithful to him. And that's a good example then for me to follow. So let's support the supporters of the truth, oppose opposers of the truth, and follow good examples. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you have given us your word and that we have many good examples in the word of people who walked faithfully with you. And they can encourage us, and we take lessons, Lord, from them and from their lives. Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts up to be generous, to support one another. That, Lord, we would oppose that which is not truth in the church, but to do so, Lord, in love. Walk in love and truth. And that, Lord, that we would follow the Lord Jesus Christ first, who is our supreme example. But we thank you, Lord, for the good examples of men and women that you've put in our lives who have encouraged us along the way. And we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information about Wonder Lake Bible Church, visit wlbiblechurch.org.